As for the reading this morning, with God's help, I desire to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 12 verses. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the
Heavenly Father, we pray this afternoon, gathered round about a reading that has fulfilled prophecy. Lord, you are the God of old, the creator of all, and the only one that we can turn to in times of trouble, in times of rejoicing. Meeting all of our needs, O God, what a mighty God that we serve. And Lord, here we find ourselves around a table. And Father, we pray that you would feed us with your word, Lord. For we are all looking and seeking something. Help us seek your word and your food, Heavenly Father. Father, there are those among us that have made a beginning and have decided to turn their back to sin and are on the path to knowing you. We pray, Lord, that you would lead their path and that they wouldn't turn back. And those young men and women that are with us, Lord, would be fully convinced that this God that we speak of can change lives and can even change them. And as they struggle to find their way, help them find that way in you, O Lord. Father, among us are parents who are maybe tired and weary, Lord. With the stage of life they're in, Father, we pray that you would give them strength. Help them see down the line, Lord, that you are the ultimate provider. You are the giver of strength when times are difficult and they're physically weak. Lord, among us are also empty nesters. Father, couples and individuals that are in their middle of life, Father, we pray that you would give them peace and support and that you would give them guidance on how to navigate the next step in life. Father, the aged are among us, maybe in the sunset of their life. Lord, heaven is near for them. Give them the peace and the strength to maybe look upon us and offer nuggets of testimony and experience of what you have done in their lives. How beautiful it is to be a part of a church, O God, that you've given to us with so many different stages of life that we can learn from each other. Father, this is a blessing and a gift from you and what you intended the church to be. All different, but unified in Christ. Father, help us look upon this as a blessing and seek to uplift one another as we have read of the incoming of Christ here and John the Baptist, the forerunner. Father, we look at ourselves and see many faults. Help us come before you in humbleness and meekness, not looking to one another, but, Father, doing the more difficult thing and looking into the mirror of our lives and analyzing, do we measure up to Scripture? Is my life reflecting a life of the one who's truly professing Christ? So, Lord, we pray this with the full knowledge and being convinced that you know each one here and can meet each one of our needs. So, Father, we pray that you would. Oh, gracious Savior, we pray that you would look down on our gathering and that this wouldn't be something flippantly or like that we're gathering just to be together, but that we're gathering because Christ is near and that we desire to have a relationship with him and that we would pattern our lives to him. So bless our brother Louis, that you would give him inspiration and an outpouring of the Spirit, that he would deliver a message, your message, that you would have for us specifically in this day. For Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and we pray all of these favors in his most powerful name. Amen.
The chapter before us is the ministry of John the Baptist. We have an introduction of his ministry here. We also see something that I think can really stamp the author of Scripture, how we can be even more sure that it is God who is writing this, because if we look at Jesus, John is going to introduce Jesus here now. Jesus is ready to begin his ministry. He's 30 years old. And the Bible is absolutely silent for 30 years of Jesus' life, except for one account. One account is written of the life of Jesus from birth to this point. Man could never have kept that silent. As a matter of fact, man didn't. Man invented tall tales and stories and come out with Apocrypha and put it out there as gospel. Just a bunch of man-made theories and lies as truth, presenting it. But we have silence from God about Jesus' life until he's 30 when he comes onto the scene. But here we have John, the forerunner of Jesus, as was mentioned in the prayer, the cousin of Jesus, who is choosing a platform, if I could call it that, to preach from, that is completely unlike any that any of us would choose to preach from. He chose an uninhabitable section of land that ran along the Dead Sea, and there he went to preach a message of repentance and baptism. And as Brother Andrew mentioned, this is a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus says was Isaiah back in chapter 40 when he actually prophesied that this would take place. This is now its fulfillment. It's taking place. And when we look at John the Baptist, He chooses the wilderness of Judea to go to preach in, and it tells us that he had a raiment of camel's hair. Unconventional raiment, too. He had a leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. You know, he came in the spirit of Elijah. And if we look at Elijah, Elijah was just like this. Elijah had rejected the Phoenician culture that was slowly sapping the identity and the life out of Israel, completely sapping and obliterating Israel and its life. And Elijah had rejected that. Same thing that John the Baptist here. He's rejecting the Greek culture, and we heard a lot of that in this morning's message. Very hard truths that, you know, every one of us, we could have listened this morning and we could say, okay, wow, this is good. But what are we going to do with it? We love to hear a good message, but what do we do with that message then? Are we going to just say, yes, it was a good reminder? You know, a brother texted me, he goes, that message this morning, I think he was speaking, Brother Robert was speaking directly to me. I needed to hear this. I said, I needed to hear it too. As a matter of fact, every one of us needed to hear it. The question is now, brother, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? And what am I going to do? And what are we going to do? Or are we going to say, well, the Western culture today, because it tells us here that his had a girdle, a leathern girdle. In that time, of the times of John the Baptist, the girdles were made out of silken robes, and they would attach a gold and silver to it, be all fancy and nice and dancy and looking nice. He rejected that. He put on a leathern girdle, rejecting the Greek culture. What do you and I do to reject the culture today? Or do we gimme, gimme, gimme? I want it for me. Oh, we love to hear it. But we don't assume that we're the ones that are embedded deep into that culture where we lose our identity, that Elijah refused to lose, that John the Baptist refused to lose. Do we give it up? As Brother Andrew led us into a very thoughtful prayer of, are we gathered flippantly? Like, we're supposed to gather. It's going to be said that I was here. It's good that I'm here. Ta-da-da, everything is going to be fine. And our thoughts aren't centered on a life-giving word. What is it that gives life? The word. Who is the word? Jesus Christ. And Brother Andrew also prayed for you, our dear friends, that you would be convinced that it is this God that can create this entire transformation that John the Baptist is preaching of here. What other God are you going to turn to? What other God is there? Where are you going to find him? Other word than just the pure, unadulterated word of God is preached and spoken. And Jesus, God himself, has chosen this method to bring you to repentance. The preaching of the word, period. It's not up to the preacher to do anything more. It's not up to the church to do anything more but than to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you are to submit under the power of that word and see its life-transforming power that it can do and what it can create in you, a new man, a new birth, a new man in Christ, ready for the kingdom of God within you. Within you. And so we have John the Baptist here preaching the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Brother in the morning, also in the message, spoke about fruit. We hear about fruit bearing later on in this chapter here also. And so there is a preparation to be made in order to come to Christ. You know, John the Baptist says his first word, repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is... So repent you, he says ye. That's you who are outside of Christ. And it also applies to us too. Why does repentance apply to a believer? Because I think, as a brother mentioned to me this morning, he was touched by the word. Now, we're called to action on that word. You can't just be moved and then just ignore it. There's something that must be done, because a moving of the Spirit tells me, I did something that was unlike the king of the kingdom in which I claim to be a part of. And so there is a way out of that, and that is through repentance. But Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the jailer, he tells him, believe. Well, that is the first thing you must do, is believe. And your faith will lead you to repentance. Faith in Jesus and repentance towards God. Again, the inseparable links. And so when one is speaking of faith, preaching faith, and one is preaching repent, the message still is very identical. It's the same. They cannot go one without the other. One will never turn to repent unless he has a faith in a God who he believes can change him into that which God wants him to be. And so it is only through the power of the word that transformation, that new birth can take place. And so that preparation must be something that you and I have an obligation to do. We can't just say, well, you know, God isn't doing anything in my life. You know, I'm still weak. I don't have an interest in church. I don't have an interest in reading the word during the week. God's not doing anything in me. And what are you doing? Embedded deep into sin, into self, into self-righteousness, and claiming still, just like the Jews did here. And he read their hearts, and he says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. We have Abraham. So they had the covenant of Abraham. And they thought, just as a descendant of Abraham, I'm good. Who are you preaching to? You preaching to me? I'm in the covenant. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm good. This is for the Gentiles. No. John the Baptist is preaching to the Jews directly. And he looks at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and says, you generation of vipers, you snakes. What is the symbol of a snake? It's Satan himself. It's poison. They're spewing and biting with poison. What is it? It's their law, their methodology, as they ignore Christ and what he is calling. Do you and I say, well, I've been baptized. I am a descendant. I am a member of the church. That's my ticket. Don't think that. Don't think that within yourself, John Baptist would tell you. Don't be thinking within yourselves. He says here, for I say unto you, God is able. Don't put God in a box. Don't say, well, you know, he said that he will never leave me nor forsake me, so I can just go do whatever I want. And that's the prevalent thing in Christianity, modern Christianity today. Western culture has embraced that entirely. Yes, Western culture has embraced it. Do what you want. I am a member of the church. I claim to be. I was even baptized. Remember that day? You remember that day? We all know that day specifically when we were baptized. We don't forget that day. Why don't we forget it? It's like our birthday. You remember it. You know when you were born. You know when you were born again. And do we hang our salvation upon that day? Don't think that, he says. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And God is not going to be a liar. God is still true. God will raise up children. He says he can. If you don't want to, he can raise up children. And his covenant promise remains intact. He still stays the same God whose promise is never broken. Don't put God in a box that he has to do something for you. What are we doing to prepare the way of the Lord, and to make the path straight? And it tells us here that he had his raiment of camel's hair, leathern girdle. You know, it says his meat was locusts and wild honey. So he did everything in the part of Elijah. And, you know, and as I look at this, I say, well, you know, what is our raiment? You know, what is our meat? I'm not eating locusts and wild honey. I look to eat the best food I can, the most tastiest and everything. Are those things becoming our gods? This culture that we can't separate ourselves from? Are they ruining? Yes. I meant to say, are they running our lives? And in the running of our lives, they're ruining our lives. And Elijah says, no, this culture is not going to destroy me. John the Baptist says, the Greek culture is not going to destroy me. Are you and I saying the Western culture will not destroy me? I'm not going to lose my identity in Christ and be sapped through the culture that I'm going to embrace. And I'm going to shove Christ aside, but just put him within reach that I can still say, I am a child of God. I am children of Abraham, as they were saying then. He says, all of Jerusalem. Well, not all. He says, Jerusalem goes out to him. All of Judea goes out. And all the regions round about the Jordan, they go to him. And they're baptized of him in the Jordan. Doing what? Confessing their sins. Who? Abraham's children. Jews. Confessing their sins. The message was very clear. They understood it. They embraced it. They confessed their sins. And they came to the truths of the Holy Word of God. And brothers and sisters, that's our role in a church setting, our role as ministers. Preach the unadulterated Word of God, period. And don't think that God is unable, without me doing something extraordinary, to try to draw you in. You don't need a band here. You don't need this. And you don't need some kind of shenanigans. You need the pure Word of God, period. If we ever think there's something more you need, we're saying God's Word isn't enough. It's not powerful enough. And that's what you, brothers and sisters, are to do in your life as you go and you speak of God. Just the truths of God. That's it. Let God do the rest. Don't think he can't. Your message, my message, this is the path that was chosen by God. He sent John the Baptist. He sent him in the wilderness, go and preach, period. And so we have here, he says here, they were baptized, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of Abraham, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he tells them, bring forth fruit that is meet for repentance. You can't come like that. What are you coming for? There's no repentance in your heart. There's no confessing of sin in your heart. You haven't made your path straight. You're a generation of vipers, snakes. Venomous snakes. And you know, any preacher that gives you anything other than the pure words of Christ is a venomous snake, period. That's just it. There's no good in him. You cannot say, well, you know, No, if we hear anything outside of the Word of God, and what I mean by that is there is no other way of salvation than through belief, our faith in Jesus Christ, and our repentance towards God. Now, you and I know exactly what repentance means, and it's not something that you and I gravitate towards. No, there has to be a conviction that takes place, and that conviction needs to lead us to a surrender. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And it brings us to repentance. And that repentance has to be complete, total, and sure in order to be claiming that God is my Father and I am his child. If we don't do that, don't call him your Father. Don't. Where's your comfort? You know you have to repent. You've chosen not to. Oh, God's too weak to give me the strength. I'm just not strong enough. That means it must be God. It's not me. Surely it can't be me, right? And we do that. We fall into this rut. And a month goes by, and a year goes by, and a decade rolls by, and suddenly decades roll by. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna. As we completely ignore But, you know, we hear a good sermon and say, yeah, you know, that was a good sermon. So we feel good that we were pricked because must be the Spirit still with me, and that's okay. I must be still around. We had in Detroit the message of the rich man and the beggar, Lazarus. And, you know, the rich man was calling, you know, send Abraham, you know, go. You can't claim Abraham. Lazarus did. Both Jews. Many, 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 many are going to be called. And brothers and sisters, the only thing you and I have to worry about, am I chosen? That's it. Because we can pursue the Phoenician culture of Elijah's day. We can pursue the Greek culture of John the Baptist's day. We can pursue the Western culture of today and gain it all, the whole world. What does it matter if you lose your soul? Who said those things? The one who knows. Jesus. You gain the whole world. What does it avail you? What does all of that hoopla matter at the end of the day, which is the end of life? What does it matter? The last prophecy of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. John the Baptist fulfills that prophecy. He comes on as an Old Testament prophet. He comes onto the scene of the New Testament here. And he brings forth this message. And then he says here, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The axe is laid. The axe isn't being made. It's not in the, it's the iron blacksmith isn't making this axe. He's not forming it. He's not sharpening it. He's not putting it on the grinding wheel. The axe is laid to the root. It's already at the root. The tree is ready to come down. Brothers, sisters, dear friends, the tree is ready to come down. What makes you say, no, it's not? The Bible says it is. I can't say it's not. I might be hewn down tomorrow, and you might too. Even today. I'm talking about tomorrow, today. The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. And he says, therefore some of the trees? No. Therefore most of the trees? No. Therefore every. That's an all-inclusive word. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. And Jesus spoke of those things. He spoke of the branches that are going to come down. They're worthless. They're good for nothing. They'll be cast into the fire, he says. And they're going to cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me. And listen to this man of God, what he says. He that is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. You know what the truth cost John the Baptist? Here it cost him all of the luxuries of the Greek culture. All of it. You know, let's not kid ourselves. We love luxury. All of us do. Some form of luxury, some form of this and that. How far are we going into it? How far have we taken it? He extracted himself from all of it. And he spoke truths. He spoke the truth. And you know what it cost him? His head. His head. You know, what does it cost you and me to speak the truth today? A little bit of laughter, maybe? Someone's going to laugh at me? And you know what the sad part is? In the church. Your own brother and sister might laugh at you. But brothers and sisters, don't be dismayed. The truth sets us free. It sets me free from this axe. It sets me free from the wrath that is to come. It's truth. It cost him his head, but it gave him eternity. John the Baptist, in eternity, will never say, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have spoken the truth. Look at that, he cut my head off." Now, in glory, there's nothing in this life. And the thing is, we have to recognize that while we're in this life so that we can come out of that. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That is a call. We're afraid to be separate. We don't want to be mocked. We don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be different. We want to run with the crowd. We want to do this, we want to do that. And what do we get? The axe is at the root. But I've been baptized. God is able to raise up stones or children from these stones. And those stones were, they become lively stones. We are lively stones now. The Gentiles, you and me. And every Jew has to do what you and I have to do. Believe in Jesus and repent towards God, and you will have life in that abundantly. There's no separate path for anybody. Paul says, you know, here when John goes into the wilderness and it says Jerusalem comes, Judea comes, and they come to him, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees come. Well, at the preaching of the word, the everybody is made equal. Equal. There's no Pharisee and there's no Sadducee when the word comes out, repent. In other words, all of you, he says, are sinners. All of you. Sinners that need faith and repentance towards God. All of you. Confessing your sins. There's no rich, there's no poor. Don't think to say within yourselves, he's saying, that I'm this or I'm that or I'm Abraham's. You're all the same. You're sinners. And we all need Christ. And we all know that. But do we take him flippantly? Do we take him, yeah, I'm going to feel good about this move. It's the popular thing. My friends are doing it. And you know what? That's okay. If you're inspired by your friend's movement, turning to the Lord, that's wonderful and beautiful. And we are supposed to inspire one another. But let that be complete. Let that conversion be complete. How? How can I do that? Surrendering yourself. And having a will, having a desire. You can't ignore the preaching of the Word of God. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore the Word at home, just put it away, put it aside. And expect to grow and expect Christ to do his work. The kingdom of God is within you. Who is the king of my kingdom? King of kings and Lord of lords is Jesus Christ. He's the king of the kingdom that is within me. He is the head. I am his subject, who I love and adore and willingly follow. When we do that, brothers and sisters, dear friends, we surrender everything. We surrender everything. Don't say, one day I will. One day I'm going to. Yeah, I'm just going through a tough time right now. That's baloney that comes straight from hell. It's a lie from Satan. He's telling you, put it off for another day. Don't go to church today. Don't go tomorrow. Go when you want to, when you're feeling like you need to go. Ignore the word that is the only method of which you and I can transform. Ignore it. Leave it alone. And you know what? Something will happen. And we're going to be driven by by emotion. We're going to be driven. You know, there could be a death. There could be, you know, we had almost a catastrophic accident with our young friend and brother from this church. And you know, we wept just thinking of what could have happened, what it would have done to our church, what it would have done to our families, and just the thought if those young men perished in that automobile. And we have this feeling of right away, thank God, we're thankful to the Lord for that he saved these young men, brothers, and we're thankful, and then it's lost on us. It's just purely emotions, going through emotions and saying, you know, I really need to do better. I need to, and then a week goes by, 2 weeks rolls by, 3 weeks rolls by, and it's a distant memory. We forget all about it. And God doesn't want you here to come to an emotion. But he can use a moment like that to wake you up and let your conversion be real. And hang on every word that Jesus is speaking to bring you to him, into his kingdom, which is here and now in your heart, and Jesus Christ to live and reign within your hearts. And you're going to say you're weak. You're going to say you're weak? No, what it means is, God is not my father. What would Jesus tell you? You are of your father, the devil. Whoa. Who do I claim as my father? I claim Jesus. I know we all do. Is that my life? Is that a picture, a snapshot of my life that God is my father? I am his child, and he delights in me. Can you imagine delighting? You know, as a newborn is born and as a child grows, and we delight in those children. We delight in their innocency, their joys, their eyes are just full of joy, and we delight in those in them. And to have God, our Creator, who created us, and he, with the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, he willingly came and gave his life for you and me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus willingly gave his life, laid it down for you and me because he loves you and me. And he's going to take delight in us following him. And when he loves us, who can be against us? What do we want? What more do you want? You want the love of the world? I want the love of my Father. Now, it's up to us, brothers, sisters, dear friends, to embrace this message of John the Baptist back in that day. Jesus continued in the very next chapter. He came with the same words, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The apostles continued that message, and it was always consistent, and they always preached Jesus, and they always preached faith, and they always preached repentance. Those are hard truths that you and I cannot depart from. Those are truths that we need to embrace and fashion our life after so that we can point the next generation and leave them with a church and with a message and with an example of a life lived in Christ and what it means so they can be emboldened. Are we lacking? Is our church lacking? Is our denomination lacking? What have you and I done? I think Brother John mentions, I can't quote him, but in the closing this morning about what do we give? What do you and I give to the church as we come and gather? We're just coming in mosey on out. Where's the enjoyment of being with a brother and a sister? Are we part of that? Are we taking joy in that? Do we speak to one another? Do we invite one another to each other's house? Do we share moments of a fellowship and growing and learning, encouraging? What have you done to encourage someone? But you only want to encourage. I want to be encouraged. Oh, no one's encouraging me. Well, what have you done? Have you ever done anything? Have you ever availed yourself to anyone? I mean, what do we do? What do we want? We want to be spoon-fed. We want to be let. Well, we're just lazy. We're just lazy, and we're really not interested in the ways of Christ. Because the ways of Christ our power and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. A happiness that radiates from us, that is addictive. The next person wants that, and that's what we are to be. What have we done? What are we doing? That's how this church in West Akron will grow, in the unity of the Spirit, that bond of perfection. Let our growth, let our unity be solely and only none other than in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we will be blessed. May He bless His word on our hearts. Amen.